Our website is www.lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, November the 27th, 2011. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Christians Can Be Under Curses. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Can I tell you, no human being can get that curse off you? Only God can remove the curse. The world cannot, they can shift it around, they can help you hang in there, they can medicate you, they can cut it out, but if you don't deal with the cause of the curse, it's going to come back. Some of the things that I had cut off have already come back. Had two skin cancers cut off my nose. They came back bigger than they were before they took them off. Plus a scar where I had 8-inch scar from the doctor cut a huge hole in my nose. Took me a whole year. Every time I think about that, man, I get mad all over again. But I mean, every time I think about him, I knew that if I didn't forgive him, it never would go away. I would have it as long as I lived. Okay, so my point is that only Jesus' blood that he shed at Calvary can remove the curse, and he will only remove it when you align yourself with the Word of God. Now, people can pray for you, and you might, you know, my mother, she had ovarian cancer in 1978, and I didn't lead her in any kind of looking for spiritual roots, but I was in the hospital with her, and she said, Jerry, I really believe that if I would die, I would not go to heaven. And I led my mother to the Lord, and she lived from 1978. That cancer never spread. It from 1978 till she died the year 2000. Cancer never came back. And so she was healed with the first prayer. But sometimes with my eyes and with skin cancer, I mean, it's been layer, and like Debbie shared today, that was wonderful, Debbie. It's like sometimes there's layer upon layer upon layer of stuff. Sometimes you can be healed the first time, but if you can't start looking for the spiritual reason, and God's not healing some of you because he's got some things to teach you, and if you were healed, you might quit looking so diligently. He's using all of that. Look what you're learning in the process of your healing. Look what you learned, Debbie. And so, it's a process. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you're destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, but you shall flee seven ways before them, and you shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcasses shall be food to all the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Now that's a type and shadow of the powers of darkness. And there'll be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors. I think the King James says hemorrhoids, and with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. I remember there was a young man at our farm, and he had a hemorrhoid, and we just broke the curse of hemorrhoids, instantly healed. But sometimes the girl that came out of Satanism, she was healed of like 300 different, 200 different things, and I documented she was even healed of AIDS. And the Lord showed me that sometimes there's layer upon layer upon layer. Like, for example, she was bleeding from the ears and rectum. And so we would deal with blood rituals, things that had to do with blood. And she would quit bleeding, and then she'd start bleeding again 2 weeks later. And then we'd say, okay, Lord, show us. And the Lord would show us something else. And it took about a year and a half, and she was totally healed. And so that's how I learned that sometimes healing is like peeling an onion. You get one layer, and if you're not healed, go for the next layer. And if you're not healed, go for the next layer, because there are spiritual roots to why we have what we have, whatever part of the body it is. Head problems have to do with authority issues, because head is authority. Feet and leg problems have to do with your path and with flesh. And The Lord will, verse 28, the Lord will smite you with madness, with blindness, with bewilderment of heart, and you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness and have no, and not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You see, I have a covenant partner, and he only saves me when I'm in covenant. If I break covenant, the new covenant is kept. The old covenant, they had to keep the letter of the law. The new covenant, Jesus said that all the commandments can be summed up in this one statement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and your neighbor as yourself. And when we don't walk in love, and it takes dying to your flesh to walk in love. If you're not dying to your flesh, you are a covenant breaker, and the demons are the executors of God's covenant. Go, hold your place. We're going to come back here, but go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And it's talking about being angry. 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, meaning you empty head, you fool, you're not worth it, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. And that word in Greek is the final place of punishment for the ungodly. Anger is not acceptable. It's linked to an idol. Verse 23, if therefore you're presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar if you go to pray and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. In other words, if I go to pray and I remember Carla, my sister, is upset with me, she's not, but if she is, I go to her and get it right and then I come and pray. And maybe I don't have nothing against her, but maybe she's upset with me about something. It says, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, that's God, and the judge to the officer, and that's a demon power, and you be thrown in prison, and it's a spiritual prison. So when you let the sun go down on your anger, if you don't repent by sundown, you go into a spiritual prison in whoever that you're angry toward. Deuteronomy 22 says that anger and jealousy and bitterness is linked to idolatry in Deuteronomy 32. I'm sorry. And so you see that the judge... The Bible says in James there's one lawgiver and one judge, and that's God, and the officer is the demon power. Matthew 18 says, when you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, which is demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. And I believe in most instances, 99% of our sickness is rooted in either needing God to forgive us for something or needing to forgive somebody else. You say, well, I've forgiven everybody. Well, first time you get your button pushed, that goes back to something you didn't deal with your mom and dad. You're just having a happy day till you get your button pushed. Anybody like that? Okay, back to Deuteronomy, and we're going to quit here in a minute because I know I like to get to bed early. No, not really. I've had a lot of sleep today. I like the new schedule, by the way. Everybody likes that other one. It's kind of grueling. Okay. The Lord, verse 28, the Lord will smite you with madness, with blindness, with bewilderment of heart. So you see, this is a curse. It is not a blessing. And so I'm still, after 2 million things I've already repented of, they're better, but they're still not, I'm not seeing the manifestation of healing. But I thank God that I've got good eyes that I can see. This Bible's much easier to read. The other one's too marked up. Okay. And you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You shall betroth a wife, and another man will violate her. You'll build a house, but you shall not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not use his fruit. You see, divorce is a curse. It's probably affected most of us. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you and shall not be restored to you. And your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to save you. You say, well, I don't have sheep and donkeys and cows and It's just a type of your stuff, of your possessions. Your sons and your daughters should be given to another people, while your eyes shall look on and yearn for them continually, but you shall have nothing, there's nothing you can do. My son at 18 went to New York City as a homosexual. There's nothing I could do. Given to another people. Praise God, he's in heaven today. But it took AIDS, that dreaded disease, to bring him to repentance. You can see, if you go into YouTube and pull up Todd's Greatest Regrets, you can see his testimony that was done 13 days before he died. It's gone worldwide, and he died in 89, so how many years is it? Yes. I can still look at it and still cry. And you should be driven mad by the sight of what you see. You see mental illness, insanity, going to take and get doped up on psychiatric meds, which makes you drunk. And the Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you shall set over you. Not God as king, but your king, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall set other gods of wood and stone. And you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the peoples where the Lord will drive you. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you shall gather in little, for the locusts shall consume it. God wants to restore the years the locusts have eaten. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you shall not drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they'll go into captivity. I want to say this, if you have sons and daughters in captivity, as long as you're enabling them, bailing them out, God's trying to give them a whipping, and you're trying to, oh no, don't whip this poor little child, I don't want him to be homeless, and you're trying to comfort him in the spankings God's kind of given him for his wrong choices, he's never going to change until you've changed first. Or to whoever, if you're married and your husband is enabling them, till he changes. Or she changes. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and your labors, and you shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. And you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring... Oh, I already read that. I'm on 42, okay. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. The alien who's among you shall rise above you higher and higher. We see that happening right here in America. The aliens going higher and higher, and American people are going lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be your head, and you shall be the tail. And I wouldn't be surprised if China didn't own the credit card companies. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes with which he commanded you. And they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in the lack of all things, and he'll put an iron yoke on your neck until he's destroyed you. Now, Paul said your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, but he could also mean the Muslims that are taking everything over. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies. That's the opposite of Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the opposite is, you're going to serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you're destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, the increase of your herd, or the young of your flock until they've caused you to perish. And it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted in come down. throughout your land, and it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land which the Lord your God has given you. Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, and you can just see how people get more, depraved. Then you shall eat the, they do this in Satanism. Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile toward his brother and toward his wife he cherishes, and toward the rest of his children who remain. I remember a time when my kids were, young, that just the sound of their voice at the table, I just want to go, ah! Hostile! It was being under a curse. Because you did not... Where did I stop? Thank you. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile toward his brother and toward the wife he cherishes and toward the rest of his children. There's hostility in marriages. So that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children which he shall eat, since he has nothing else left, during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in all your towns. The refined and delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement shall be hostile toward the husband she cherishes and toward her son and her daughter. I've experienced that. And toward her afterbirth, which issues from between her legs, and toward her children whom she bears, for she shall eat them secretly for the lack of anything else during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in your towns. If you're not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses, and he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt which you were afraid. You see, in covenant, he took away, when the children of Israel made covenant with the Lord, he took away the sicknesses, but he says, I'm going to bring them back under the curse on you and your descendants, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring on you until you're destroyed. Then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for a multitude, because you did not obey the Lord your God. And it shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you, under blessings and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you, and you shall be torn from the land where you're entering to possess it. Moreover, the Lord shall scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And that's multiple personality disorders, because how can a person be scattered in pieces, fragmented? Scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone which you and your fathers have not known. And among those nations you shall find no rest, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart. There you see heart trouble. Failing eyes, you see blindness. And despair of soul, there's depression, so that your life will hang in doubt before you, and you shall be in dread night and day, and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you'll say, oh, I wish it were in the evening. In the evening you'll say, oh, I wish it were the morning, because of the dread that's in your heart. And the Lord will bring you back to Egypt, back into the world, by ships, by a way which I spoke to you, and you will never see it again. And there you shall, sir, offer yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but nobody even wants you. You see, rejection. And back in 65, it says, and among those nations you shall find no rest. Why? Because there's only one place of rest. For Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Otherwise, you get another yoke, but it's the yoke that leads you to destruction. It's the yoke of iron that's the curse. So these are the curses. And so when something comes into my life, or there's a problem, I look it up and I break these curses, and I find out why the curse is there, and we want to do that in just a minute. And now I'm going to go through some, I've got this many scriptures showing you that sin is behind sickness, but I'm not going to read it, okay? That's for that four-day seminar. But I'm just going to read these real quick, but there's 15 biblical reasons for plagues to be poured out, and I just want to break this and take y'all through deliverance. Adultery and spiritual and physical adultery, and just mark these down. Genesis 12:17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Number two, stubborn, hard-hearted, refusing to listen to the voice of God and to show forth His power and His glory, Exodus 9:14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants, upon thy people, and thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. The third reason, breaking God's covenant and refusing to repent, Leviticus 26:21. And you will walk, if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sin. Fourth reason, a curse of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, Deuteronomy 28:58. We just read about the plagues in Deuteronomy. The fifth reason, turning away from God to serve other gods, Deuteronomy 29:1-22, so that the generations to come of your children that rise up after you and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord had laid upon it. The number six thing, stiffening the neck and refusing to heed His voice. The Bible says a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. I believe that's Proverbs 29. So stiffening the neck and refusing to heed His voice, Jeremiah 19:8, and I will make this city desolate and a hissing, everyone that passes thereby will be astonished and hissed because of all the plagues. Now Jesus said a city on a hill cannot be hidden. He said, I'm the light of the world, and He told the disciples, you're the light of the world. Just let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. For a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So because of that, God said, I'm going to make this city desolate. We're a city, we're a temple. The seventh thing is living after the flesh, Jeremiah 49:17. Also, Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at the plagues thereof. And Edom is a type of the church that lives after the flesh, where God says, I love Jacob, but I hated Esau. And remember Esau, he lost his birthright, and it says in Hebrews, I believe, that he cried, but he found no place for repentance. Are y'all familiar with that scripture? And it's a type of the church today that lives after the flesh, is Esau. The eighth reason, being a part of Babylon, mother of harlots, Jeremiah 50:13, because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goes by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all of her plagues. Revelation 18 says, come up out of her, Babylon, this whore harlot church, unless you receive of her plagues. The ninth thing is exalting yourself in pride and forgetting the Lord, Hosea 13:14. I'll ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be the destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. The tenth reason, refusing to repent of the works of their hands, idols of silver and gold, worshiping the beast. Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood which neither can see nor hear. Never before in history has plagues been poured out upon America and upon the church as it is today. I mean, there's so much sickness, and that's not to condemn anybody, but God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And you know where we get knowledge? He says in 3 John, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. When I'm looking up these word studies, and when you're looking them up, your soul is prospering. And your health will be in proportion to a prospering soul. So will your prosperity. So if there's not health, we've got to have a prospering soul. And you don't get a prospering soul by being in a bless me line, even though that might have a place for that, or having people lay hands on you, which is great. I believe in that. But the way I prosper is to get in God's Word and let Jesus, the Word, have His way in my life. Align myself up with the Word of God. And then forgive my forefathers for committing the same sins I just confessed. And then break generational curses and break soul ties. And healing comes. When God gets through showing you everything He wants to show you, you'll be healed unless He wants to take you to heaven. Okay, the 11th thing is God's wrath poured out on those who are not victorious over the beast. Revelation 15:1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Verse 6 says, and the seven angels came out of the temple having seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Verse 8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of the Lord and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And then the next thing was, the 12th thing is refusing to repent and not giving God glory, blaspheming His name. Revelation 16:9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of the Lord, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. You know, when my son was dying of AIDS, I told this Christian doctor who said, you know, I don't know anything about AIDS, but I know how to pray. And so I told this doctor, I said, you know, my son has repented, but I said, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in deathbed commitments. And this doctor said, oh, he said, I do. He said, I see people that are dying. They get meaner and meaner and meaner. But he said, if your son, I said, my son is getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You either get bitter or better. Amen?
Amen.
But he was saying that he's seen people that are dying and they're not repenting. They just get meaner and meaner. But God's children don't do that. They repent. The 13th reason is being a part of Babylon, producing harlots instead of disciples. And that's what today, the big portion of the church, Howard Pittman says 90% of church members are going to hell. Leonard Ravenhill said 98% of church members are going to hell because they live just like the world. And so the harlot church out there is producing harlots. God's true church, remnant church, is producing disciples. And that's what I know the heart of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is, to produce disciples, to make disciples. That's Revelation 18. Come up out of her, my people, lest she receive of her plagues. And it goes on to say, she says, I sit as queen. I'm not a widow. In other words, I'm the bride of Christ and Jesus is my bridegroom. But she says in Revelation 18, I'm not a widow. I'm the queen. Jesus is my king. Only he didn't say it that way. And then the 14th thing is not overcoming fear, unbelief. Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolatry, lying. He that overcomes shall inherit these things. And then it says, if we were operating in that, Revelation 21:9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. The last thing I already read, adding to and taking away from the Word of God. What do? I align myself with the Word. The only safe place I have is Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress. I'll not be afraid of the terror by night or the pestilence that stalks at noontime. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because I make the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation. No evil shall befall me, or no any plague come near my dwelling. Okay, I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, but these glasses are a plague. So there's some things out there that has caused the curse to light here, generational curses or whatever. So when I see something that it's because I make the Lord my refuge, no evil shall befall me, nor no plague will come near my dwelling, I say, okay, Lord, where am I sticking out of this refuge? You see, the skin cancer, something's sticking out. the eye problems, in those areas, I'm not under God's refuge, which I am in other areas. Does that make sense? Generally, I'm in His refuge because I'm submitted to Him, but I'm an imperfect human being. And so, God's Word's true, but I've got a few things in my life that that's cursed. So I keep looking for the cause of the curse. Does that make sense? This is not to condemn everybody. Listen, if you live long enough and without cursing you, I think everybody, somebody said this, Carla, I bet everybody could say I've got at least one little thing wrong with me if it's not a wart on my foot. I need deliverance from that. I had a wart on my foot. I'm going to get Carla to pray for that wart. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to stand up. Let me tell you what the word plague means. The word plague means to smite, infest, to afflict with disease causing a high rate of mortality. So I want you to think about the areas. Maybe think of yourself as a window, a house with some windows open because there's some things that have got in. There's a curse that's gotten in. Ask the Lord what this is and how to close that window. What you need to repent of to close that door. So Lord, I ask you to search my heart. Pray with me. Search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me, Lord, every area where I'm being attacked, how the door got open or the window got open. I want to say this too to those of you who've been into the New Age or been into the occult. I mean, everybody that has average stuff has bunches of stuff to deal with. But Satan is a legalist. If you were in a ritual where you repeated words and they laid hands on you, everything we've done in our lifetime has to be repented of. Even before you became a Christian, has to be confessed. God says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's not to overwhelm you, but if you're trying to get deliverance, then like all the things that you've done in those rituals or all the things that were done to you or all the words you spoke, that's got to all be renounced. Not generally, not saying I renounce the New Age movement. That won't do it. Everything, every ritual, and I learned this through ministering to people that had come out of Satanism. I mean, every little jot and tittle, and there's so much. God says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, I don't want you to get overwhelmed by all of that. God's not overwhelmed. This is what you do. Okay, Lord, show me step one and do it. Show me step two and do it. There's people here today that are healed because you let God's Word heal you. I think Patty's one of them. Lord, show me what I need to repent of, where I'm being attacked, and how to block that attack. Show me the cause of the curse in Jesus' name. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel. With all of its junk, I really want you to hear that. You can't turn the potter's wheel, because if you do, you think, oh dear God, this is so overwhelming. Where do I start? I'm such a mess. That's not the intent of this. It's to show you what God's Word says. So in the future, if a curse comes, you will look for the cause. So Lord, forgive me for adultery, physical and spiritual adultery. Forgive me for having a stubborn, hard heart, disobedience to your voice and your commandments. Forgive me for not loving you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and my neighbor as myself. Forgive me for being disobedient to your voice and your commandments. Forgive me for turning away from you to serve other gods. Everything that makes you mad is another god. You hear that? Because love fulfills the law. And when we have another god, we get mad if you don't cooperate with it. Like a mad bear. Forgive me for stiffening my neck and refusing to heed your voice. Living after the flesh. Not denying myself, taking up my cross, and following you. Forgive me for pride and exalting myself. hardening my heart, not allowing my life to produce the resurrected life of you, Jesus. Walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. God, forgive me for letting the enemy overcome me. I repent of the works of my hands, worshiping the beast. I want to worship you, Lord. Forgive me for not giving you glory, and forgive me for blaspheming your name. Forgive me for being a spiritual harlot instead of a disciple, and not overcoming fear and unbelief, being abominable, murdering people with my words, being a whoremonger, a sorcerer, having idols, lying, adding to and taking away from the Word of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you went about healing many, and as many, and those that had plagues, you healed them. Lord, I want to be in covenant with you, align myself with you. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers for these sins that I have confessed, that they've committed. I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through these things I've confessed. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. I break soul ties with my forefathers. Call back my soul and spirit from them. Send back their souls and spirits to them. And I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I just command every demon power of plagues, fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, perversion, adultery, fornication, I command you to go. Bestiality, I command you to go. Masturbation, pornography, go in the name of Jesus. I break those hooks in the name of Jesus. All anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, antichrist spirits, out in Jesus' name. I break your power. All sickness, distress, disease, cancer, plagues, out in Jesus' name. All generational curses of cancer, we break in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fear, doubt, unbelief, go in Jesus' name. We tear down strongholds of unbelief and doubt. We tear down strongholds of pride, selfishness, self-exaltation. We tear down strongholds of anger, bitterness, hatred, go. We tear down, according to 2 Corinthians 10, 4, 5, and 6, we tear down strongholds of lust, gluttony, muscle spasms, we tear down pain, grief, sadness, sorrow. We tear down strongholds of unbelief, lies, lying, perversion, effeminate, reviling, slander, bitterness, hatred, meanness. We tear down those strongholds in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, name some. Something I haven't named. What? We tear down strongholds of diabetes. What else? Envy, jealousy, covetousness. We tear down strongholds of what? Prejudice, bigotry, hypertension, heart disease, strokes, aneurysms, cancer, blindness, macular degeneration of the eyes, cataracts, glaucoma, eye disease. We tear down strongholds of blindness, failing eyes. We tear down strongholds of plagues and pestilence in the name of Jesus. We tear down what? We tear down strongholds of double-mindedness and confusion and being scattered. What else? Tear down strongholds of poverty and arthritis, and that's bitterness. We tear down strongholds of bitterness in Jesus' name. What else? We tear down strongholds of gluttony, the god of the belly, obesity, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. We tear down strongholds that cause us to see things that are not there, hallucinations. We tear down strongholds of drunkenness, orgies, in Jesus' name. Homosexuality. We tear down strongholds of molestation in the name of Jesus. Strongholds of incest and illegitimacy in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we cast down every imagination and we tear down every stronghold that keeps us from wanting to be in the Word of God. We tear down every stronghold that would keep us from the Word of God. We tear down every stronghold that would hinder repentance, the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin. Lord, release over us the fear of the Lord and the conviction of sin. We tear down strongholds of legalism, perfectionism, religious spirits in Jesus' name. We cast down every imagination in our lives, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the will, the plan, and the purpose of God, the glory of God, the Word of God, and we take captive every thought in our lives to the obedience of Christ. We punish every disobedience because our obedience is complete. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now get a partner, and I want you to say, and get your feet off the ground. I jerk him off the potter's, onto the potter's wheel. Come in with love. Jerk him off the... Yeah. Get a partner, y'all. Come on. Get up. Get a partner and jerk him on the potter's wheel.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.